Specifically, if somebody wanted to focus on joy in work or retention at their hospital, my advice would be to really actively avoid the trap of assuming and doing before asking. So, what I mean by that is, I mean, I would never have guessed that reward and recognition would have been the lowest score for our survey. And if we didn't ask, we could have been going down the totally wrong path, right? I never would have guessed that. So, if I was just coming up with my own ideas, it would have been totally off base.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsintsiyan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. This week, we're returning to Northwest BC and the town of Smithers. Regular listeners of this podcast will remember we featured Smithers before with past guests Dr. Kate Niethammer and Dr. Darren Jakobek. Well, the PQI alumni in Smithers have joined forces this time to help deliver high-impact improvement on a larger scale. And to tell us about this work is Dr. Kayla Blackstock, a family doctor and the Physician Quality Improvement Program Advisor for Northern Health. Now, Kayla, you're no stranger to this podcast, and we know you're based in Smithers in Northwest BC, so when we heard about the really exciting engagement work happening at Bulkley Valley District Hospital at the moment around building a healthier workforce and involving the entire hospital staff, we just had to have you back to share the story around that. I mean, is there something in the drinking water in Smithers? Who was involved and how did it all begin?
Thanks, Sheer and Lee, for having me back. You know, we do have some amazing stuff happening in Smithers right now, and I am really excited to come back and share with you and the listeners what we're doing and what we're learning. We have a large team working together on improvements at our hospital. We're so lucky. Our team includes myself and, like you said, two other quality improvement trained physicians, Dr. Niethammer and Dr. Jakobek. We have our health services administrator on the team, our director of care, nursing OR manager, one of our clinical practice leads. The old school term for that, as we know, is a charge nurse. We have two members from the health authority quality team, and then one to two members from our own PQI quality team. And then we just added two new members this past week from nursing staff and administrative support staff. So a really diverse, amazing team. And then in terms of where it all began, we started doing this work in September of 2024. And so I was thinking about this, and the idea was, could we bring quality improvement trained physicians and hospital leadership together at a table to work on a larger shared problem or priority using quality improvement methodology? Why did I want to do this? So the table didn't exist. And I find that often physicians trained in quality improvement methodology have a real hunger to improve many facets of healthcare and healthcare delivery. And in many instances, the work that we want to do is outside of our control or sphere of influence. And I think often we think that we need to be at the right table or in the right position to get that work done, but maybe we just need to have the right ingredients. You know, maybe we just need to have engaged and receptive hospital leadership, passionate quality improvement trained physicians, other managers and frontline staff who are proven problem solvers, and maybe we can get these ingredients together to work in collaboration on a collective problem. So that was the thought. I wonder if we could do that. And I knew in Smithers that we have this great group of clinicians and very, very supportive and engaged leadership. I wanted to bring us all to a table and see if we could come up with a problem that we all resonated with and could work in collaboration to solve.
That's excellent. And I love that attitude of curiosity. I mean, what if we could do this? I think that's wonderful. And you're right. It's so good to see all those quality improvement trained physicians who are chomping at the bit to want to get stuck into something a little bigger, a little broader, and with a little bit more impact. And that's great to hear. Where did the idea come from for building a healthier workforce? And how do you go assessing the need for that?
The idea was not initially to create a healthier workforce. Our first step was to sit at the table together and figure out what the shared priority was. So we had a really fantastic 2-hour session facilitated by one of our former PQI staff. And at that session, we each shared problems or ideas from our own perspectives. And then we used quality improvement tools as we do. We did an affinity diagram to cluster and identify themes, and then we used a prioritization matrix to help us really hone in. And we found that there were several problems identified that would sort of sit well under a joy in work theme, and we collectively agreed to tackle that first. I guess my hope through this exercise is that we would sort of end up with a Venn diagram of sorts where we had clinician priorities and leadership priorities, and then overlapping priorities in the middle where we could really target and collectively agree to tackle those things. So to go back to our process, we followed the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's Joy in Work white paper framework and started by asking hospital staff what mattered to them. So we surveyed the staff using open-ended questions and questions with Likert scales, and then we used the results to help guide our work. We asked about the 9 critical components for improving joy in work that are outlined in the white paper and found that only 31% of hospital staff were satisfied with reward and recognition in our workplace. This was by far the lowest score of the survey, so we decided to tackle that first. We set out with an aim to improve reward and recognition scores from 31 to 80% by December 2025, and that would be a year after our initial survey.
Well, I do like a good stretch goal, and it sounded like you set out on that path. And so, what did you and your team do next? What improvement ideas did you come up with?
Yeah, it was a stretch goal. It was bold, but we went for it. So our first major project that we did was a kudos project, and you might be familiar with that at UHNBC. That's where we learned about this work, and borrowed it or organically spread this work to our site. So the idea with the kudos is that any staff member can give a kudos or a thank you or a good job in the form of a handwritten card to a colleague. They just fill it out, put it in one of the many boxes that are located around the hospital, and then every month our team goes, we collect them, we draw 2 winners for 2 gift cards, and then we hand deliver the cards to the receivers. That work's still ongoing. We do it every month, and hundreds of kudos have been given out. It's been a really successful project for us.
And this is across the hospital.
The whole hospital, yep, from physicians, nurses, administrative staff, lab support, our maintenance staff, everybody.
And any other improvement ideas?
Yeah, so one of the other things that we've done, and this actually predated our Joy in Work initiative that we're doing, we have a celebration board in our hospital. So a group of us, right after COVID, kind of got together, and morale is low and healthcare is in shambles and things just seemed really grim, I think, in a lot of areas in healthcare post-COVID. But we knew that really fantastic things were happening quietly in the background, and there were people actively working on improving patient care and experience and efficiency and flow. We knew all of these things were happening, but nobody else did. So we thought, why don't we just showcase it? And we created a bulletin board in the main hallway, or we repurposed a bulletin board, I should say, in the main hallway of our hospital. So it's patient and public facing, and we highlight every month or two these new, innovative, great things that are happening in our hospital so everybody can see and celebrate with us and know that great things are happening in the background. And another fun thing we're doing is we've started to play a lullaby on the overhead speakers through the whole hospital when a baby's born with parental consent. So it's a really wonderful, easy thing to do that we find that everybody just has a collective moment of joy together in the hospital, and that celebration in the hospital and acknowledgement that Beautiful things are happening here. So that's been really fun. We've also done a trivia night, a Christmas party, a photo contest, and a few other little things with this work so far.
I love that idea of playing the music actually when a baby is born. That's really brings the whole hospital together, doesn't it? That's a really heartwarming gesture. That's great. So you've introduced all these wonderful change ideas, and it sounds like there's lots of wonderful engagement and involvement across the hospital. Have you managed to make a difference? An 80% stretch goal was your target. How did you get on?
As you know, Cher, we have to measure it, right? Or we don't know if we're actually making an improvement. So we asked again. We did the same survey 1 year later, same questions, and we found that hospital-wide, our satisfaction in reward and recognition increased from 31% to 90%.
Wow, that's an awesome result. Amazing. So you smashed through your stretch goal and went beyond. So that's fantastic. Now, I mean, such a great success. To what do you attribute that level of success, do you think, digging below the surface?
Yeah, thanks for that, Shir. I mean, we know that it's so important for people to have meaning in their work and to feel seen and valued by colleagues and leadership for their efforts. And so I think a lot of the ways our change ideas have really targeted that. I think for our group, it's been really instrumental to have a diverse group that includes hospital leadership and that we're visibly making an effort to improve joy in work collaboratively as well. We know that workplace culture is primarily established from the top down, but we also need bottom-up buy-in and engagement. And I think we have a really good balance of top-down culture setting and bottom-up engagement and initiative through this work that we're doing. And then another thing that I think was important in our success is the way that we're communicating. So we didn't want people to feel like they were providing feedback to us through this survey into kind of the abyss without knowing why am I doing this? Why am I doing another survey? So we really committed to communicating back with staff and communicating regularly our survey result findings, our efforts, our ideas, our results, as well as maintaining open lines of communication with anyone in the hospital to hear ideas or feedback or anything like that. I think that's been really helpful for us and key to our success.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece, and I think that closed loop communication is important because people often fill out questionnaires, surveys, and never hear back what the results were or what the outcome was. So I think that's a great thing to build in into your improvement work there. Okay, so great success with reward and recognition. Where are you and your team going next with this work?
Well, we've been tossing around a few ideas. We are really focused on sustaining our gains. That's a priority for us. That's one of the reasons why we've expanded our team and included others in this work. From our initial work in September of 2024, we had a lot of ideas and a lot of really great ideas. So we're going to circle back to some of those, or we might actually even just redo that meeting and see if we can come up with new ideas, our new themes emerging in these last couple of years. We've been talking a lot about strengthening the quality culture at our hospital and having contests or small showcasing opportunities for interdepartmental small quality improvement gains and initiatives. We've also been talking about hosting some quality improvement education for interested staff. That would also be hospital-wide. And then another thing is in our first survey, we just straight out asked people, what do you think needs to be improved? What are the pebbles in your shoe? And there were lots of ideas that came out of that and lots of strong themes. So we're looking at tackling some of those as well.
And that's great. And of course, you've built that infrastructure in place now, which allows you to skip the first few engagement steps and really build on what you've already achieved. So that's great to have that in place. Now, listeners may be listening to this and they'll be thinking, "Wow, this is great. Great things are happening in Smithers. I wish we could do something in our hospital, in our facility. So if staff at another facility wanted to do something similar, what advice would you give them? How should they go about it?
I think my first piece of advice would be to find your people. Find the people who are engaged, activated, those change leaders, and then engage your leadership. We would not have been able to do this without the active support and participation of our health services administrator and director of care. They've been phenomenal champions of this work. So that's definitely step one and two together. I think another piece of advice that I would give would be to really focus on identifying a shared problem that's important to everyone. Finding alignment, I think, is really key to everyone engaging and having ownership of the process. And then, specifically, if somebody wanted to focus on joy in work or retention at their hospital, my advice would be to really actively avoid the trap of assuming and doing before asking. So what I mean by that is, I mean, I would never have guessed that reward and recognition would have been the lowest score for our survey. And if we didn't ask, we could have been going down the totally wrong path, right? I never would have guessed that. So if I was just coming up with my own ideas, it would have been totally off base. And the Joy in Work white paper is a really good guide. And following that is the easiest way, I think, to avoid that trap.
Yeah, I think that's important insights, and particularly as we know, quality methodology requires us to really analyze the problem first before jumping to conclusions, before jumping into your solution straight away. So that's a good thing to take away. So you've talked about how another facility might pick up some work like this, but there's a broader theme here, which is along the lines of how physicians can engage and collaborate with their operational colleagues, particularly with that lens of improving the quality of care. Are there any other big takeaways, do you think, that we can learn from your experience at Smithers?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I'm going to speak to some work that you've done, Shear. Sorry to put you on the spot here, but you've done some really fantastic work looking at alignment between the projects that our physicians trained in quality improvement have done and Northern Health's strategic and operational priorities. And from that work that you've done, we know that physicians and health authorities are working in the same direction toward the same goals, but often, unfortunately, in parallel instead of in concert. And I think that's a huge lost opportunity. And in my opinion, we aren't working together enough to achieve those shared goals. We also know that quality improvement efforts can fail or suffer if we don't have a fulsome understanding of the problem from different perspectives, just like what you spoke to, Shear, and making operational decisions without fully understanding the clinical implications or impact is a big risk, and vice versa. So I think to successfully and sustainably improve the quality of care that we're providing, we really need strategic leadership, operational leadership, frontline clinicians, and patients at the table willing to collaborate on shared priorities. And importantly, we need this work to start at the problem identification stage and not downstream at the idea implementation stage.
Yeah, I love that actually. I love that joining together in the journey actually builds that collaboration even more strongly, doesn't it? So that's wonderful, and that's a great insight. And thank you for the nod there earlier. So that's great. Well, I have to say, it's another big win for QI Science and for physician and health authority collaboration. So you folks in Smithers, you're building some great system improvement momentum there. Thank you, Kayla, for joining us today and taking us through that. And we look forward to hearing how you get on and what happens next in your region. You've been listening to Dr. Kayla Blackstock, a family physician in Smithers, Northwest BC, and the Physician Quality Improvement Advisor for Northern Health's PQI program. To find out more about this work, check out our podcast show notes, where you'll also find links to other great episodes. But until next time, it's goodbye from us here at QualityCast North, from our guest, Dr. Kayla Blackstock, and your host, I'm Sher Chewy. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca. Where did the idea come from for the lullaby thing? That was a fantastic idea.
Darren came up with that. So he read about it at some US hospital, and I think thankfully at the meeting we decided to try it, and it's like people cry. It's the most
Oh, I
beautiful
bet.
thing, and people just pause, and it's Brahms' lullaby. It's like the beautiful lullaby, just a few seconds. And it's just so nice. It's so nice.